First of all, a few observations. We may say that in this country, there is a very definite interest in Tibetan Buddhism. The fact that we could have a whole series of talks on this subject is perhaps sufficient to show that. At the same time, of course, one shouldn't exaggerate. This interest is confined among people largely of a certain type, a certain kind. And the interest itself, we may say, the interest in Tibetan Buddhism, which does exist in this country, we may say is largely of two kinds. It's extrinsic and it is also intrinsic. By the extrinsic aspect of the interest, we refer to interest in Tibetan Buddhism, interest in the Tibetans themselves on account of largely political reasons. People are aware that there are large numbers of Tibetan refugees, homeless people, not only in India, but even in other parts of the world which they have managed to reach. And those who are inclined towards some kind of humanitarian help and endeavor, they are very much aware of this fact, that there have been these tremendous political upheavals in Tibet, and that hundreds of thousands of Tibetans have been rendered homeless, and that between 100 and 200,000 are living as refugees in different parts of the world, mainly in India. So this interest, this extrinsic interest in Tibetan Buddhism and in the Tibetans themselves is of course not confined, in fact by no means confined, to Buddhists themselves. The intrinsic interest in Tibetan Buddhism, we may say, is connected with the nature of Tibetan Buddhism itself. And this intrinsic interest is confined, or tends to be confined, to Buddhists and those who are, for one reason or another, students of Buddhism. Now I've said, in fact I've emphasized, that Tibetan Buddhism is one of the three major forms of Buddhism: the Southeast Asian Buddhism, Sino-Japanese Buddhism, and Tibetan Buddhism, as a third, separate, independent form. But not only that. Tibetan Buddhism represents Indian Buddhism at the height of its development. Buddhism has in India a very long history, a history of 1,500 years. And in the course of all those centuries, Buddhism in India grew, it developed, it efflorescent, it put forth all sorts of shoots, all sorts of flowers. So by the time 1,500 years had passed, Indian Buddhism was very rich and a very complex thing. But unfortunately, for one reason or another, in India itself, for various reasons, it eventually died out. But before it died out, it was, as it were, transplanted, almost wholesale, almost en bloc, practically without change, to Tibet, to the land of snows. So Tibetan Buddhism is of importance, amongst other reasons, for this fact that it represents Indian Buddhism at the height of its development after 15 centuries in India itself. So this is perhaps the main reason why we study Tibetan Buddhism, why it's of importance to us, and why it is difficult for us to ignore it, even if we wished to do so. In this country, I think I can say, those who are interested in Buddhism, those who do consider themselves to be Buddhists, have no wish to ignore Tibetan Buddhism. Most of those in this country who are interested deeply in Buddhism feel very strongly that there must be a comprehensive approach. They feel very strongly, and especially we in the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order feel very strongly, that good must be derived from all the different aspects, all the major traditions of Buddhism as they have developed in the East. We feel that there is something useful, something helpful, something inspiring to be gathered, as it were, from each and every one of them, whether it's the Theravada, whether it's Chan or Zen, whether it is also Tibetan Buddhism. There's no question, in fact there can be no question, of anyone in this country really taking up any one form of Oriental Buddhism and sticking to that through the exclusion of all the others. What one has to do is to do as the bee does and fly, as it were, from flower to flower, of all these blossoms of Buddhism in the East, gathering, extracting the honey, the same honey, from them all, and then adapting that, utilizing that for one's own requirements. And it's in this way that an indigenous form of Buddhism will arise, will spring up in this country. And this is, again, one of the things which the Friends of the Western Buddhist Order are trying to do. This is one of the reasons of why, in fact, we exist.